Hello, this is Allison Carter with the Special Needs Podcast. This is episode 6, and today we'll be talking about possible red flags for autism. Before I get started, I would like to ask you to please send me an email with any questions or comments that you might have. Even if you just say hi and let me know that you're listening, that would be great. But I would really love to hear what you guys are interested in, and I can try to talk about those things too, so just let me know. My email is Allison, A-L-L-I-S-O-N, at mymidwesttherapy.com. Now, in today's show, I want to talk about red flags for autism. What does this mean? Red flags are things that we look for in a child's development that may not be considered typical for their age. And for this, I'm talking about kids who are 5 and under. These are things that you can look for in any child in that age group to try and identify if there might be some warning signs that they might have autism. I want to be clear, though, and say that if you know a child who does have something on this list, it doesn't mean they have autism. It could just be a sign that maybe they do. I'm only giving this list of things to keep an eye out for, and if you start to see more of them adding up, you should talk to your child's pediatrician about your concerns. Don't freak out, though. Some kids do some of the things on this list, and they don't have autism. I'm not trying to diagnose any kids by putting this out here. In fact, many of the things that I'll be talking about today will not show up in the diagnostic criteria for autism. I will have a link for that in today's show on my website that will take you to the CDC's definition for diagnosing autism. You will not find a lot of the things on my list on their site, or other sites that explain what they look for to make the diagnosis. I am coming at this from a perspective of my experience in working with kids over the last 15 years and just what I've seen with kids that end up getting diagnosed with autism. Autism is a spectrum disorder. I'm not going to get into all the details of the diagnosis and all that. But it means that there's a wide range of variation between each person that gets diagnosed, either from mild to severe and anything in between. It looks very different from each person, so it can be a hard thing to diagnose, which is why I recommend that if you're going to seek out an evaluation, that you go to a developmental team of experts rather than just relying on one doctor for a diagnosis. Now, I'd like to give a list of 10 things that could be warning signs for autism. There is not an order or priority here. I'm just going through 10 different things. Number one, eye contact. This is something that you can look for starting even when the child is an infant. I'm assuming here, when I'm talking about eye contact, that there's no vision impairments. There's no limitations in their vision due to damage to the optic nerve or their eye or anything like that. Babies can start to make eye contact sometime in the first 2 months of life. A good time to look for this is when you're feeding them. It is a very critical time when you start to develop a bond with your baby, and eye contact, even at this stage, is a social skill. You should be able to get eye contact with them during other times when they're awake and alert, especially if you're face-to-face with them. We naturally make goo-goo sounds at babies when we're holding them, and this should get them to be interested in looking at you and making eye contact. One of the best ways to hold them when you're doing this is for you to be sitting and holding them directly in front of you with your arms underneath them, supporting their body and their head, obviously. This basically puts their face about a foot away from yours, which is a good distance for them at this age. If they're making eye contact, you would start to see them smile at you when you smile at them. Again, a very social activity, but it's difficult to do this if they're not making eye contact with you. Sometimes when I see a concern here, either the baby will not look towards the parent's face at all, or they will look at their face but not directly at their eyes. They may watch their mouth moving when they're talking to them, but not their eyes. The actual social connection is usually just not there. This brings me to number 2 on the list, which is babbling and cooing as an infant. A natural progression is that during this first stage of eye contact and smiling for socialization, babies are starting to make cooing sounds. This starts as vowel sounds like ah and e. Babies naturally start to make these sounds if they're developing appropriately, and They can usually start around 2 months of age. However, I don't really get concerned until maybe closer to 5 or 6 months of age if they're not doing this at all. Keep in mind, though, this is a tricky area because there may be some other type of speech delay or something else going on that's not related to autism at all. That's why I said before, just because something on this list may be familiar, it doesn't guarantee that it's related to autism. This is something to keep an eye out for with any child, but it's something that can be an early indicator for autism as well. I would expect the baby to start back and forth cooing and babbling with their parent or adults around 5 or 6 months, or by that time. This is where you would hear the baby making some sounds, and then you imitate their sounds, and they repeat it back and forth with you. It can also be where, when you're holding them and they're facing you, while you're talking to them, you can see them react and watch you and make some type of cooing sound in response to your talking. They may not be proficient at this by 5 or 6 months, but I would expect them to be starting to do it. Number 3 on my list is reflux. Many babies have reflux for a lot of different reasons. Again, not a definite indicator that they have autism, but it could be another thing that is something to look for. I have seen it a lot in the kids that I work with that are diagnosed with autism. As infants, you might see them arch their back when you're trying to hold them for feeding. Also, when you lay them on their back to maybe go to sleep or just lay down, they might arch their back and tilt their head back too. This can be a sign of reflux. By turning in this arched position, they are trying to get away from the burning acid reflux feeling in the back of their throat. They could also easily gag when breast or bottle feeding due to the sensitivity from the acid reflux burning. Most of the time we think of reflux with kids when they spit up a lot. They might spit up a whole feeding of milk or formula. And this can be the case, but there are also so many times where the reflux never makes it all the way out, but it comes up far enough into their throat to make them feel the burning sensation. You've probably even had this as an adult after eating maybe a spicy meal. By the time that I start seeing the kids with autism, they're usually 1.5 to 2 years old, just depending on the situation. And they either still have reflux, or their parents tell me they had it as a baby. They will often forget that they had it as a baby until I ask, or they start to consider that they thought it went away, but it actually could still be happening. And I do find that a lot of the times they do still have it as a toddler also. It's just not as obvious at this point, and it often has to be diagnosed by an ear, nose, and throat doctor. We start suspecting it at the toddler age when the child is having issues with eating, which can lead us to number 4 in today's list, which is feeding issues. This is a very broad topic because difficulties with feeding can be and are due to so many reasons. But to sum it up, I will say that as an infant and toddler, the child doesn't eat well in general. They can often get really good at taking a bottle to get their formula or milk, then have a difficult time moving away from that and onto more foods than milk by age 1. As an infant, they may not breastfeed well and often have to be fed from a bottle instead. This can be due to the reflux or sensory issues or any other reason. As a toddler, it can be very difficult to get them to drink from anything else except a bottle, and once they do switch to a cup, they may only drink from that one particular cup for a long time. As far as eating, though, I have concerns when the child will only eat a few select foods, and when they're not able to eat whatever the rest of the family is eating at meals by the time they're around 15 to 18 months old. Some other signs with feeding are gagging, choking, coughing, stuffing too much food in their mouth, not chewing or attempting to chew foods, and getting upset when a new food is offered to them or put on their plate. There's so many other issues with feeding, and there's no way I could list all of the options. But these are just some things to look for. Next, for number 5, is GI issues or gastrointestinal issues. These can be things like frequent diarrhea or constipation or back and forth between the two of them, stomach aches, are also very common, or just generally not feeling well. I would also consider reflux to be part of this too. This can be a difficult thing to figure out, but if your child is having consistent issues with any of the things I just listed, I would consider seeing a GI specialist who works with kids. It could be that also food allergies or food intolerances are affecting their gut and causing these symptoms. Some of the foods that they might show an intolerance to are gluten, which is basically wheat products, casein, which is usually milk or lactose, and food dyes or food additives for some examples. Now, number six I have listed as eczema, which can also be tied to the GI issues. And eczema is a skin condition where you get rashes that can pop up in different places on your body, and they usually itch pretty bad, and they sometimes blister. This can be related to GI issues because some food or milk intolerances can make the symptoms of eczema worse. Number seven, sensory processing issues. Kids with autism, more often than not, seem to have at least one area of sensory processing that is affected. The most common things that I see here are often a combination of the following areas: touch or tactile, visual, auditory, and oral. This is not clear cut because everyone is different. This is a really, really, really big generalization, but I do see these areas affected most often in kids who are diagnosed with autism. And a lot of time they're sensitive to in these areas. The oral and auditory areas can be both sensitive and low registration, and that's where things bother them, but we may also see that they have a lower awareness in these areas. You can find out more about those specifics in my first episode of the Special Needs Podcast, where I get into those in a lot more detail. Number eight on my list gets back to the language aspect of things. If the child is not saying at least two words by the time they're 14 months old, or saying 10 to 15 words by the time they're 18 months old, it could be a red flag or a warning sign. It could also be a speech delay caused by something else completely. But for this purpose, I would expect a child to be saying mama or dada specifically for you by 14 months of age. And going back to their cooing and babbling as an infant, this should progress to the point of saying words when they get to this age of 14 months. If they aren't doing the typical cooing and babbling of ba ba ba, da da da, and then they start to move into the typical baby or toddler jabbering, where it sounds like they're having their own little conversation in their own language. And then if they aren't going ahead to move ahead with actual words by the time they're 1.5, then I generally start to have concerns about their language. Number nine has to do with socialization in general. As a baby, by 8 or 9 months of age, they should start to lift their arms up to you to be picked up. Also, around this time, they will start to enjoy looking at themselves in the mirror, and they start smiling and talking to themselves in the mirror as well. Usually, by around 15 to 16 months, they will hand you a toy if you ask them to. And also, around this time and up to maybe about 18 months, you should see them imitate what is called an invisible gesture. And this is where, for example, you stick out your tongue, or just make a silly face, or you wink, or attempt to wink with one eye, or just blink both eyes. Other things like that where you can't see yourself doing it unless you're looking in the mirror. The last one that I'm going to mention is number 10. It has to do with reflexes. As babies, we have certain reflexes that help us during different stages of development, and some of them we're born with and then they go away. And one of the big ones that we see with the infants is called the ATNR, or asymmetric tonic neck reflex. This is also called an archer reflex, where when the baby is lying on their back and they turn their head to one side, the arm on that side goes straight out and the opposite arm bends up and the hand comes up to close to the back of their head. Also, the leg on the side that their head is turned to bends at the knee, and the opposite leg goes out straight. It kind of looks like an archer, or when a person is shooting a bow and arrow type position. This reflex is normal, and you should see it in babies up to about 6 months of age. If you don't see it during that time at all, that can be a concern that might indicate something else is going on, which I won't get into today. But you should see it both to the right and the left sides. Normally, the reflex is present, and then it goes away or integrates around 6 months. In some kids with autism, this reflex continues on even as toddlers and older. Their brain never moves past the reflex or integrates it, and it becomes a problem because it can get in the way of learning how to do things like reach across their midline, which is, you know, where you reach across with your right hand to the left side of your body. This is an important thing for body awareness, also for walking upstairs by alternating your feet on the steps, sitting in a chair as they get older, doing two-handed activities like pop beads or mega blocks and things that you put together using both hands, coloring or drawing, and eventually handwriting and reading. And handwriting because you have to hold the paper with one hand usually and write with the other one, and to go across the page from left to right with reading and writing. Now, I also put some links to websites with more information on this reflex in the show notes on my website under this episode. I hope this list was helpful to you. It wasn't meant to explain autism. It was just meant to give you some things to look for and just be aware of as possible signs or symptoms of autism at an early age. If you have concerns or you're seeing several of these things in a child, please discuss it with their pediatrician. Also, there is a questionnaire that you can look at that may give you some indication of whether or not the child is showing possible signs of autism. It's called the MCHAT, and it can be found on the internet. The MCHAT stands for Modified Checklist for Autism in Toddlers. I will have a link to it on my website, and you can find it, the questionnaire, directly from that link. Many pediatricians are giving this to parents at well visits, and it can be done with a child who is 16 months to 30 months old. The recommendation is that it's given by a professional, but if you fill it out yourself and find the results to indicate there's concerns, you can bring it to your pediatrician and discuss it with them further. If you go to my website, mymidwesttherapy.com, you can find links to a lot of the things that I mentioned today. They will be listed in the show notes under this episode. Also, on my website, you can find links to Amazon products that go along with this episode. And with all of my previous episodes, I did the same thing, so check them out. If you like the show and would like to continue listening to me, you could help me do that by simply making all of your Amazon purchases through my website. Just go there and click on any of my Amazon links. The links will take you to the main Amazon site, and you can make any purchase you want. You can buy toothbrushes or toilet paper or any toys or anything else that you ever buy on Amazon. I will get a little kickback from that, and it won't cost you any more than any other time when you shop on Amazon. Plus, you will also be helping me work towards my goal of doing this show full time and being able to bring you more than two shows per week. This whole podcasting thing is a very big learning experience for me. If you've listened to the first episode, you probably noticed there wasn't any music. By the second one, I figured out how to get some music on. And I also started using a pop filter, which does help keep the peas from popping into the mic. I'm trying to continue making this better as I go along, and any support you can give me through Amazon is appreciated. Thank you so much for listening.